This episode was recorded before we realised we had ADHD.
We've left our old episodes up as we now recognise our struggles and helpful tips were all ADHD related, and we hope that they can help you too.
We hope you enjoy listening to this episode. Just please be aware we won't specifically mention ADHD.
Welcome to A Dopamine Kick, your weekly dose of positivity.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week as we help change your habits, tackle fears, and challenge your mindset.
Let's get to it!
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of A Dopamine Kick. So we've got something a little bit different for you this week. We're going to be talking about dopamine fasting.
You all know what I'm going to say. If you haven't already, please consider following the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on. And don't forget to stick around until the end for this week's little kicker.
So just before we dive into today's episode, I thought it'd be a good idea to just check back in how we're getting on with our 100-day challenge. So Sparky, are you still managing to get out for your daily walks?
You know what? It's going really, really well. So as you all know, I said I was going to get out more, and I definitely think the step tracker on my phone is helping me, and just seeing those numbers on my smartwatch really helps me give me a kick up the bum and get the motivation to get out there and do it more, because we all want to reach those amazing numbers, right? No one likes to lose. Well, I don't anyway. So yeah, it's been going really great. And like I said, I was going to aim for about 8,000 steps a day. And just looking at my phone at the moment, I've been managing to do about 6,000 to 7,000. So a little bit lower than I expected. But it is hard though, because I swear I walked loads the other day and I thought I'd done about 50,000 steps, but it actually ended up being more about 6,000. So you can tell that I don't get out much anymore. But I am really keeping up with it, and it's something that I really want to achieve, going out for more daily walks. So I'm definitely going to 100% complete the 100-day challenge that we set a few weeks ago. And I think just having those 100 days there, just to tick it off, sign it off, is a great tool. So I'm hoping that people are downloading the ticker sheet, because it's a really great tool and it does help motivate you. And even if you haven't downloaded the ticker sheet and you just do it mentally, or you do it in your notes or whatever, because you don't actually need the sheet to change your habit, even if you just know in your head that you're going to be doing it for 100 days, that's a great motivator, because just knowing that you're going to be doing it every single day for 100 days helps you stick to it. Like I said, it's a great motivator, because when you get to about 20, 30, 40 days, you're not going to want to quit anyway, because even if it gets hard, you're going to think to yourself, well, I've done it for so long, I just don't want to give up the ghost right now. So you're more than likely carry on doing it. And if you are listening to this and you've started the habit that you wanted to change and you've kind of fallen off the wagon, just remember that you can start again. We do encourage you to fail, but it's all about getting back up and trying again. That counts. And that is a great thing about changing your habits. So definitely, definitely jump back into it. Don't give up. So Shell, how are you finding your habit change? Have you been drinking much more water?
No, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Still drinking the water. I've had to slightly change things in the timings that I was drinking, because I was just spacing it out throughout the day, but I found myself getting up quite a lot at night. So now I've sort of tried to cut off the drinking at about 7-8 o'clock at night. So try not to have too much after then. Yeah. And that's been working a bit better for me. I have actually, inspired by you, been trying to get out a little bit more.
Wow.
So I'm not doing it as a sort of any sort of formal challenge or anything like that. But I think just hearing like how positive a change it's been for you and how much better you're feeling. I've just started doing little things. So my daughter doesn't like to go to bed at night. She doesn't sleep very well, bless her. And it's often quite a drawn out process putting her to bed, you know, reading story after story and then cuddles, and then she'll want some water, and then it drags out. And so what I started doing is bundling her into the pram in her pajamas. You know, the weather's got a bit warmer now, and just going for a walk through the neighborhood. She really loves it. She's so keen, you know, she absolutely dives into the pram. It's the only time she'll use it. She loves just like walking. The streets are really quiet. You can just hear birds, but there's usually no people around.
Yeah.
And she falls asleep really easily. It's a bit of fresh air for her. And it's helping me get my steps up. So yeah, that's just a little something I've been doing as well.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm glad I can inspire someone, even if I haven't inspired anyone listening. So that's... We always say though, don't we, it's about helping that one person, and it's all about helping that one person, isn't it? And you know, the fact that even if you're my one person, then that makes me feel good. But I'm glad you're getting out and doing your walks. I do like getting out and about, and it's always been a part of who I am. When I was younger, I used to love gardening, and I used to go to the seaside. My parents would be like sat on a beach, sunbathing like everybody else. And I'd be out in the rocks looking at animals, catching all sorts. And, I do like getting out. And I do think it's really good for your mental health to go out and explore.
Definitely.
So I encourage everyone to get out more.
Okay, let's get on to today's episode. So today we're going to be talking about dopamine fasting, which is a bit of a craze that's going around at the moment. Well, it's been around for a few years, but it's really picking up the pace at the moment. And this is just going to be a very different episode to what we do normally, a bit of lighthearted fun. We thought with it being called dopamine fasting and our podcast, A Dopamine Kick, it would be remiss of us to miss the opportunity to chat about this on the show.
Definitely.
So for those of you who don't know, the idea behind dopamine fasting is you reduce your exposure to dopamine creating stimulus in order to reset your body. So the idea is that we have so many dopamine hits nowadays that we've become numb to them, so we need to go to more and more extremes. And there's really different levels of intensity. So for some, it's just like a digital detox, whereas other people, the most extreme version involves periods of like 24 hours where you don't eat, you don't drink anything but water, and you even avoid talking to other people, as that can be a stimulus as well. I just found this whole concept fascinating. What about you, Sparky? Had you heard of it before? Is this something that have you ever tried it?
Well, and until you mentioned it to me as a potential episode that we could be doing, I'd actually never heard of it and I didn't know much about it. So I did a bit of research on it and I was actually shocked that people would avoid things such as drinking water and eating food. And, you know, obviously there are benefits to doing various things like stopping yourself using technology. And we've talked about why before and the benefits of doing that. Things such as stopping social media, but we always maintain to our listeners that it's a gradual process and that you still need a healthy balance. And we often talk about the positives as well as the negatives when we talk about topics. We're not expecting anybody or ourselves who's listening to this right now to stop doing anything ever again. We're not expecting ourselves to ever not eat a burger or a pizza again. But what we're doing is we're trying to advocate for more healthy, balanced habits. And for me, I just think that this is a bit too on the extreme side. It's again, it's that all or nothing mindset, isn't it? Like you were saying then, you're avoiding things like talking to people as it can be stimuli. But to me, that's just a bit mind-blowing because socialization is part of being human. It's that social interaction that we all need. And as we know, going through what we've been through in the last couple of years is that we know you need social interaction. So to demonize that as almost a problem, I think makes it worse for yourself. I just don't understand. I mean, I do get it. I do understand why people do various things to change things. And I just believe that there are healthier ways. And I think for me, I just think that a dopamine fast using those kind of methods is a bit on the extreme side. Do you feel the same, or are you more in the middle, or do you think it's a good idea? I don't know.
So the whole concept to me, just I found the whole thing mind-blowing. So I came across the concept of dopamine fasting when my sister sent me an article about a reporter who'd tried it for 24 hours. And it sort of intrigued me really, because I just don't understand how it would work. So you don't just have dopamine in your brain, you have dopamine like all over your body, like in your guts and things. So I don't, and it's a naturally occurring chemical. So I didn't understand how you could fast from it. It's not like you can deprive yourself of it, because it's still there. So I just found it something really, like, I guess fascinating to look into. So for the science bit, I couldn't find any studies on dopamine fasting, not surprising, really. But I did find a blog post from Harvard Medical School, so at least a legitimate source. So we'll pop that in the show notes. And their conclusion is basically similar, that the science doesn't support dopamine fasting, and you can't fast from a naturally occurring brain chemical. But I think it's important to highlight that they did say that the science isn't there to support the extreme version, so the, you know, the 24 hours and not talking to anyone and not eating and that sort of stuff. But the benefits of a digital detox as an opportunity to reconnect with people, they thought was really powerful. So I thought, with that in mind, it would be nice for us to have a little chat about how to implement a digital detox, as it's not something that I've particularly ever, I've, you know, had episodes where maybe I've gone away for the weekend and I've thought I'm going to make a real effort to stay off my phone, but I've never done an actual digital detox. So I thought it'd be good to talk about what that would look like.
Okay, so a digital detox would include detoxing from things such as going on your computer.
So probably not one to do on a work day, depending on what your job is.
Probably not one to do on a work day.
Can you imagine? Sorry, so saying to your boss, can you imagine? Sorry, I can't do any work today. I'm on a digital detox.
That would be so funny.
This is all about my dopamine fast.
It just wouldn't happen, would it? It just wouldn't happen. They'd be like, what are you on about? As you were just saying there, sorry to go off topic, but as you were just saying there about the extreme version of dopamine fasting, dopamine for me is a very positive, a happy hormone. And I know we've talked before about how you can get dopamine kicks for all the wrong reasons. And I think that's basically what they mean here. Things such as going on social media, getting a dopamine rush because you're addicted to something in the wrong way. You become obsessed with that feeling, like going on social media wanting likes. And we've talked about that before, for example, you with Facebook. So a detox in that respect would be really good for you. But will it last if it's so extreme? And I think that's the same with anything extreme. Does it work long term? When you look at certain extreme diets, you will see initial changes at the beginning because you're stopping something bad that you're doing. You're cutting that out. So you think to yourself, oh, well, you know, that's worked for me. But for me, this isn't about dopamine fasting or not, but is it sustainable? Like, is there a sustainable way? I don't think anyone can sustain themselves without going on computers, having social interaction, not eating and drinking for long periods of time. So it's going to happen anyway. So I think for me, it's more of a fad. I think personally, it's better to change your habits in small steps on a consistent basis, not do this all or nothing thing, as that almost leads to failure. And I might be proven wrong. There might be a study that comes out in years to come, or it might really work for people. But for me, yeah, I just think it's just a fad that will blow away with the wind.
So I was thinking as well, if you did something like a digital detox, would you still be able to use a camera? Because, like, photography, like, say for you, Sparky, you really enjoy your photography, taking photos. For you, it's, you know, quite relaxing. So could you use a camera on a digital detox? I mean, you'd have to use a separate one to your phone, obviously, but would that still count?
Well, I mean, it depends, doesn't it? It depends how you define the camera as relaxing. I've got clients, so relaxing, I'm not sure. No, I'm only joking. I don't know. Digital to me means anything electrical.
Yeah, so I guess you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, so it probably does include them as well. I mean, things such as phones, computer games. But then people might have their own definition of what's digital to them. They might think to themselves, okay, so the camera isn't really something that I need to detox away from. So I guess it depends. And again, we were talking about habits last week, and it depends on what you're trying to change, isn't it? And why you're trying to change it. If you're playing computer games too much, if you're constantly on your phone, if you're constantly on the computer, then a digital detox might be a really good thing to start doing. But I mean, as far as food goes, I don't know if I can really detox from not eating at all.
Not eating
or drinking. I think I'd really struggle with that. Would you?
Oh, I would definitely, yeah.
I don't even know why I asked that, to be honest, because I already know you would.
So Jamie and I went away once to, I forget where the place is called now. So it's up Snowdon, up Mount Snowdon. It's the highest point in Mount Snowdon that you can camp. And there's absolutely no phone signal there. And we chose it for that reason, because there was no phone signal. So when you go down into the little village below, you've got phone signal, but when you're up at the campsite, there's nothing. So you can't, it's not like you can cheat and, like, you know, hang out of like the caravan or something and like just get like one bar. There's literally nothing, no phone signal at all. And you know what? It was such a nice holiday because neither of us could spend any time on our phone. Like we just had to spend time with each other, like playing board games and chatting, and it was just really, really nice. So I can definitely see the advantage of a digital detox.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at?
It just my mind. You said just me and Jamie spent time playing with each other.
I love that you had to go there.
Hello.
That's really tickled you.
It's really tickled me. It really has. What you were saying?
I was trying to talk about the merits of a digital detox.
Please don't say this is something that you're going to get me to do. I know you're going to come out with this in a minute about this digital detox thing. I just have a feeling that this is where you're going with this.
So this seems like a good time to come on to our little kicker.
Oh no. So
what I thought for a little kicker is, I know everybody is still at the moment doing the 100-day challenge, so I'm not going to set you anything additional, but I thought it'd be really good, Sparky, for me and you, or just I'll do it if you really don't want to do a digital detox just for 24 hours and see how it goes and sort of report back on what happened, what it felt like, how we spent the hours, whether they were much more productive.
Chell, do you hear that?
Yeah.
Do you hear those crickets?
Those tumbleweed silence?
Yeah, that silence.
That's how you feel about it.
Are you really going to make me do this? Are you really going to make me do this?
I am going to do it.
How am I meant to work?
You don't have to. Well, we've already said it can't be a work day. You don't work 7 days a week.
Okay. So just give me a slight breakdown of what it is. What are the rules first? I need to know the rules first before I accept the contract.
So it's digital detox. That's you defined it. You said anything electrical.
So this is very manipulative, Shell. You asked me about the camera. Oh, I'm there thinking it's an innocent question.
How would you feel about the camera?
How would you feel about the camera? Like, is that something that you think's in a digital detox? Can I go back?
It's all making sense now.
Okay, so it couldn't be a work day. Okay, so what about if I do a little bit of a compromise then?
Okay, what's your compromise?
I mean, anyone listening, you're welcome to join in and do this challenge if you want to. Digital detox might be great for you. I think it would be great if we could make our own rules, because you don't seem to have any. So I'm getting there first.
I think I've just given you the rules, but, you know, whatevs.
Okay. I'll do a digital detox, but I'll do it for 8 hours rather than a full day.
Okay.
That's good for me.
Okay.
And, you know, since we talked about doing things slowly and changing things like the sugars in my tea, I think it'd be really helpful to have a timed, like, 8 hours rather than a full day. So I'll do that. You're going to do 24 hours, nothing, yeah?
Yeah, well, it'll probably be less than 24, won't it? So I'll go to bed and probably look at my phone last thing before I go to bed. And then that's the last time.
No, you can't look at your phone.
Yeah, before I go to bed. And then the next day when I wake up, that's when it'll start the next day. And I won't look at my phone for that whole day. Then I'll go to bed again and go to sleep. And the next day when I wake up, I'll look at my phone. So I can't time it, can I? Because I'd have to use something digital. I suppose I could use a hand clock, but I don't own one.
Oh, that's a good thing. Can you use clocks? Have you got digital clocks?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you going to do when Jamie's watching TV?
Actually,
then?
No, even a hand clock comes with a battery, doesn't it? So you can't use any clock.
Oh, damn. How are we going to know the time?
I have to look at the sun. You'll get an idea.
I have to look at the sun.
Does it really matter?
Well, it does, because it means I'm going to have to take my clocks down.
I think you go too far into this
now.
We'll
have to take my clocks off the wall.
You're spiralling into the rabbit hole, aren't you?
I am. So basically what we're saying to everyone is we're going to do a digital detox, but we're just not going to actually do a digital detox. That's great. Yeah, I'm great. I'm down for this.
But clocks are allowed. We're going to do a digital detox as far as is practical.
Okay, as far as practically possible.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
All right, see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.